This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
WOGL HD3, Philadelphia, from the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter. Always live on the free Odyssey app. The revolution will be broadcast.
This is the next generation of talk. Now, on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, Rich Zeoli.
Just some comments on the segment on American Girl. Elizabeth Ford says, I remember when American Girls were about teaching a historical period of time. Thank you for that, Elizabeth. Amy, Princess of Profanity, says, maybe American Girl should change their name to American They, Them. Great point. Joan says, I gave my daughters American Girl's Girl Guide when they were little. That was actually an appropriate good resource. Talked about hygiene, etc., storybooks. I'm appalled to hear they've gone off the rails. Excellent points, and thank you for weighing in on that. 855-839-1210. And our buddy Stumpray Michael Pelka, who you can hear tomorrow on Kale and Company in the 9 o'clock hour, he says, Rich, Amtrak has changed since the pandemic. Every seat on the Acela routes are reserved seats. Hashtag no escaping a-holes. Well, Mike, there's always an escape, buddy. It's called the cafe car, or the middle part between the cars where you can go and hang on, and that will be very, very nice for you. So that's what I would recommend. 855-839-1210. Hey, please weigh in on Twitter. I do love it very, very much. Love to hear from you. Love the conversation. And even getting better about actually checking the tweets. So on Twitter, at Rich Zeoli, R-I-C-H-Z-E-O-L-I. Just a programming note, we are done at 6 p.m. tonight because of basketball. But don't worry, because I got big plans tonight. But in the meantime, John Lott, one of my favorite people. He is president of the Crime Prevention Research Center. His latest piece at realclearpolitics.com, the crazy right-wing shooter myth. Hey, John, thank you for making time for me today. I really appreciate it.
It's great to talk to you again. Thanks for having me on.
No, always. Always a pleasure. John, I heard so much about recently, the shooter who we found out identified as they, them, was a progressive transgender person. But prior to that, and the story since has gone quiet, but prior to that, it was MAGA, right-wing lunatic, motivated by Tucker Carlson, motivated by guys like me. Turns out all that was a bunch of BS. They blamed replacement theory. They blamed everything. But as you break down, none of that is actually true.
Right. No, it's something that the major media, not just in the United States, but around the world, has been pushing for some time. The New York Times just had two extremely long editorials about this over the last few weeks that finally forced me to write a piece about it. You know, they go through, like, their number one exhibit was the Buffalo mass murder at the grocery store earlier this year. Which they classified multiple times as a political right winger. You know, you kind of wonder, do these guys actually read the manifestos for these murderers? Or, you know, maybe they do, but they very selectively pick out things. And I think the normal rule is if the person is a racist, they instantly classify that person as a right winger. And if you read this guy's manifesto, the reason why he was a racist was because he was an environmentalist. He was upset that minorities, he claimed, were having too many children, and that having children damaged the environment. He classified himself, he called himself an eco-terrorist. He called himself a national socialist. He called himself a mild, moderate, authoritarian left. I don't know about conservatives that you know, but I don't think too many conservatives call themselves eco-fascists or are upset about people having too many kids. And they normally don't argue that capitalists are evil and destroying the environment and that we need to eliminate all trade that's going on. But, you know, you go through the list of cases that they have. They mentioned, the New Zealand mosque mass murder or the El Paso Walmart murder. Those guys were also racist, but they had identical views to the Buffalo mass murder. They were environmentalists. They hated capitalists. The New Zealand mosque murderer, his ideal government in the world, the closest one to his political and social values, is the People's Republic of China. I mean, I don't know. It's normally not what I think of as the ideal conservative or right-wing no. type government out there.
No, not so much, John. I mean, most conservatives I know don't use they, them as their pronouns. But this is the thing. I mean, I don't think the media cares about figuring this stuff out early on. They just want to quickly make an association very often based on who the victims are before they understand the truth about the shooter. And that's the thing, right? I mean, a lot of these left-wing kooks, it's not about even necessarily who the victims are. It'll be really anybody to just advance their narrative. But if there is a correlation between the victims and their wacky manifestos, the media seems to ignore that too. Am I right about that?
Yeah, I mean, the Buffalo mass murderer, that was 7 months ago. The El Paso and New Zealand mass murderers, those were from 18. And yet they're still going and pushing this narrative. You know, we went through all the mass public shootings from 1998 up till now. And what you find is that over 70% of those have no political views at all. They're basically people who want to commit suicide, but want to commit suicide in a way that will get them more media attention. That's what they crave. They want to commit suicide, but they want to go out having people know who they were. If you lump together all white supremacists, neo-Nazis, or anybody who expresses any type of anti-immigrant view, you're talking about 9%. But most of those are environmentalists when you actually drill down it, like the Ohio mass murder near Cincinnati, as another environmentalist. So, you know, it's just this theme, you take something like the person that attacked Paul Pelosi. The media instantly gravitated to calling that guy a right winger and referring to him as somebody who may have been motivated by Trump or whatever. But yet, you know, the guy was a BLM supporter. He had a gay pride flag in front of his van that he was living in. He had, according to the woman that he had been intimate with for 15 years or so, he had views all over the place, but she claimed that he was overwhelmingly of the left. And so, you know, it's just this narrative. You look at even things like violence against abortion clinics. We've looked at all the violence against abortion and pro-life this year, and overwhelmingly, it's more than 20 times more frequently this whole year, both before and after the leak of the decision earlier this year in May. It's more than 20 times more frequent against pro-life people than against pro-choice. And yet you read the news articles, the national news stories focus overwhelmingly just on the violence against pro-choice. And the Biden administration, of course, they keep track of the violence involving pro-choice. They don't keep any track against any violence involving somebody pro-life, and all the lawsuits that they brought or criminal complaints are against those who engage in violence against pro-choice, even though it's more than 20 times more frequent against pro-life individuals.
So you say there's a little bit of confirmation bias in all this, don't you think, John? I mean, if they set out to prove this stuff and they only show one side of the data, then obviously they're going to advance whatever data they want, right?
Yeah. So, you know, you read the articles about the Buffalo mass murderer in the New York Times, and their evidence for him being a right winger is basically twofold. One, he's a racist. And two, they note that in his manifesto, he talks about looking at this one website, which they classify as kind of a right wing website. So, you know, they read the manifesto, and yet they ignore all these other statements that we were just going through before. They don't mention those once. They don't even qualify it in their stories. They don't even warn the readers that, well, you know, we're going to rely on these two things. The fact that he's a racist and that he looked at this website one time to prove that he's a right winger. But, you know, it's more than just confirmation bias because I don't know how else they could just ignore the fact that he calls himself an eco-fascist or an authoritarian of the left or a socialist.
John Lott, I always appreciate everything that you write about, and some of your best books, I think, have also talked about the fact that guns actually keep us safer. And, you know, one of the things about media bias is that we don't hear the stories about people who have used guns in self-defense. You've written about it, John, and I've read your books. And I, you know, the minute you write something and I see it, I reach out to you and I'm like, I got to get John Lott on because he actually writes fantastic things. And you've written about gun control myths. You've written about more guns, less crime. But we don't teach our children that. Not that we necessarily need to, but we certainly do teach our children that guns are bad. And we teach our children that guns are bad and that guns lead to all these major problems in society. I think for a lot of parents, we'd either say, either just don't bring up the subject, or if you do, make it, you know, both sides and point out how actually people use guns to protect their society. But it seems like from an early age, whenever the conversation is brought up, they're just taught that these things are used, they're dangerous. And obviously we should teach our kids gun safety, but I'm not even talking about that. I'm talking about the greater societal implication of them.
But people are bombarded with the news media. They're bombarded with entertainment television. On our website at crimeresearch.org, we keep track of all the amazing bias against guns on entertainment cop shows from ABC, NBC, CBS, and Fox. You know, that you look at those. Over the last 15 years, I know of only two episodes of shows that show people successfully using guns defensively in entertainment TV shows. Both of them are Yellowstone. All the other shows, whenever anybody tries to use a gun defensively, something goes wrong. They shoot the wrong person. The gun's taken away from them and used against them. There's an accident of some type. But, you know, it's such a thing. You mentioned the news media. I'll just give you one example. Last year, we looked at defensive news stories across the country. We found over 2,000. But if you look at the New York, the five largest newspapers, and CNN and MSNBC, the New York Times, the LA Times, the Wall Street Journal, USA Today, the Washington Post, between those five papers and CNN and MSNBC, they had a total of 10 defensive gun use stories. Almost all of those had something go wrong. By contrast, the newspapers had over 1,700 news stories about gun crimes where people were killed or injured. They had over 2,700 news stories involving guns, something bad happening with guns being fired in the commission of a crime. So somebody could think that they're incredibly well-informed. They read all the major outlets. They listen to CNN and MSNBC, and they may never hear about a defensive gun use story. And the couple times they might hear about it, something goes wrong. You know, and by contrast, you know, just give you an idea, just the media in general. So of those over 2,000 news stories across the country, over half of those involve instances where a defensive gun use involves somebody being killed. 42% of them involve woundings. Only 4% involve simple brandishing to go and stop an attack. And just to give you an idea, the research indicates that brandishing actually is used about 95% of the time to stop the attacks versus the 4% that show up in the news media. And so what happens is there's a difference between what's newsworthy or what the media considers newsworthy and what actually happens. Now, I understand if you're editor of a news bureau and you have two stories that come across your desk, there's a dead body on the ground, or there's a story about a woman who brandished a gun, the criminal ran away, no shots are fired, nobody hurt, you're not even sure what crime would have been committed, you or I or anybody else would probably pick the first story as being much more newsworthy than the second story. But if we care about policy, if we care about what makes people safer, we have to care about both types of stories that are there, not just the cases where something went wrong on it. But yet people, if they hear about defensive gun use stories, they think most of the time somebody ends up dying as a result. And that's simply because the media thinks it's more newsworthy. Look, the best estimates that we have indicate that people use guns defensively about 5 times more frequently each year than guns are used in the commission of crimes. But yet, you know, even the best news coverage never gives people that type of impression about the point that you were raising. And my bottom line, if I were to get something across to people, it's the most vulnerable people in our society who benefit the most from having guns for protection. Anybody who's read my academic work knows that I think police are the single most important factor for reducing crime. But police themselves know that they virtually always arrive on the crime scene after the crime's occurred. And the question is, what should people do when they're having to confront a criminal by themselves? And having a gun is by far the safest course of action. And the two groups of people who benefit the most are the people who are most likely victims of violent crime, and that's overwhelmingly poor blacks who live in high-crime urban areas, and people who are relatively weaker. Right, exactly. And people who are relatively weaker physically, women and the elderly. You're almost always talking about a male criminal, a young male criminal doing the attack, and when a man's attacking a woman, there's a bigger strength difference that exists there than when a man's attacking another man, and the presence of a gun represents a much bigger relative change in a woman's ability to defend herself.
John, before I let you go, and I should mention a couple of things, I'm going to have you back on because in New Jersey, as you know, and you and I appreciate the fact you listen to the show. I'm honored to hear that. New Jersey wants to pass this concealed carry law, which is ridiculous. It would ban guns in places right. like parks. And, you know, I think about the single mom who's worried about her ex-boyfriend or ex-husband who wants to kill her, and she wants to just be able to be protected. And obviously, you know, Phil Murphy and the Democrats don't want her to have that right. So we're going to have to talk about that going forward. But before I let you go, and I'm definitely going to have you back on to talk about this concealed carry bill, probably next week when they're voting on it. Yellowstone, are you watching this season?
Yes, I've watched it.
How is it? I haven't started yet. I have it all saved up, but I haven't started.
Right. Well, I mean, I've enjoyed it over time. I mean, there's some things that drive me kind of nuts, but I think overall, you know, look, let me put it this way. There are not that many murders that occur in Montana. Okay. But
I love Beth, though. Beth is a badass. I do have to say, she's fantastic, right?
Yeah, no, you have to root for her even when she goes off the rails on stuff.
But, which is every episode.
Right.
And do you think that is Kevin Costner channeling Ron DeSantis? That's my question.
Not on purpose, if he is. But
all right, John Lott, thank you, my friend. Always a pleasure to have you on. It's an honor. John Lott Jr., thanks for all the great work you do. We'll talk again soon.
Thank you very much.
You got it.
The Rich Scioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Let me just say, my friends at Emmons Roofing and Siding, it is always great when I hear people say, Rich, I used Emmons and they did a fantastic job for me. So it turns out, I mentioned my friend Kelly earlier in the show, not Vicky, but my mother thinks her name is Vicky, but she and her family used Emmons for their home. And she said they did a great, great job. I want you to think about what it means for trust when it comes to your home. I've used Emmons for pretty much every project on my home, my roof, my windows, my doors, and my siding. And they've done a great job every time. See, Matt and Stephanie are good people. I text Matt all the time. In fact, I think we're getting together this weekend, if I'm not mistaken. I got to check with Bridget on that. She handles all the social arrangements, but she and Stephanie are friends. And their son Mason plays with Patrick, and they get it. They're homeowners, they're business owners, they know times are tough, which is why they're offering each and every one of my listeners 10% off every project that they do, plus 12 months same as cash financing to pay for it. 10% off plus 12 months same as cash financing is a no-brainer. So reach out to them today. Winter is, well, it's here. So if you need any work done, if you need roof repairs, if you need a new roof, if you need windows, doors, or siding, don't wait. Get it done today. They need time to order the parts and the supplies. So reach out today. EmmonsRoofing.com. E-M-M-O-N-S. EmmonsRoofing.com. You'll be very impressed with the great work and the fact you can trust them that they're actually going to get the job done on time and on budget and clean up when they're done. That's a fantastic thing. EmmonsRoofing.com.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T, or download the List app on the App Store today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The Scioli Show on your schedule from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT in the free Odyssey app.
It's terrible, whatever this is. I don't like it. What is this?
Hailstorm.
What is it?
Hailstorm.
That's too much. It's too heavy for the drive home. It's too much. There is a long day in traffic, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You gotta think about the fact that people are like behind the road, you got jerks cutting them off. Anyway, you know what I mean? What do you want, road rage?
I mean, this is what I listen to on the way home.
Yeah, but you're a young, testosterone-filled beast, is what you are.
Sure.
That was a compliment, by the way.
Yeah.
Let me give my My sincere sympathies to my friend, Ryan Tieford. He is a helicopter pilot with the Philadelphia Police Department. He wanted to bring me up in the bird, the chopper, years ago. I did not chicken out. As I mentioned earlier in the show, there was wind. There was all kinds of wind. But nevertheless, he lost his father, and my prayers to him and his family. And Ryan's a great guy, and there you go. Now, Matt DeSantis, this is the kind of stuff we normally talk about off the air. Daniel, one thing you learned about me as we work together over the years is I have no filter. So the stuff that I know in the back of my mind I should not say on the air, I tend to say on the air. This is a classic example of this. Yesterday we had on John Paul Mac Isaac. He's a Delaware repair computer shop owner who was the guy who turned in the Hunter Biden laptop. We talked about doing a book event, and then today DeSantis texted me and said, we need to find a place where you can feel nice and secure. So I suggested FOP Lodge 5 for the book signing, which I think would be phenomenal. Now, obviously, we'll check with program director / corporate shill Greg Stocker, our buddy, great guy, doing a fantastic job running the radio station, to see if that's okay. But I think that'd be a great place to do it.
He seems to be interested as well. The exact
Greg Stocker is interested.
Oh, Stocker, yeah. I don't know. I haven't talked to Stocker.
Oh, yeah. Well, you
Why
should,
he
because
be?
He is the boss. I'm just saying.
Why wouldn't he want to do this?
Well, we're not a his priority anymore. It's all about the morning show nowadays. I mean, we give away, like, pet rocks in the afternoon. In the morning, they give away, you know, VIP plane rides with, you know, country music singers.
That's valid.
He tells us to the wolves. He said, yep, don't care anymore.
They didn't care. It's, like, it's very obvious.
We did all the heavy lifting, though. Like, I don't think he has to do a whole lot. Why wouldn't he just say yes?
But again, we're sort of the lesser priority for him. You know what I mean?
Well, that's unquestionable.
Unquestionable.
But
you know, it's like today, our giveaway today is a garden hose. You get a used garden hose if you get the movie right. In the morning show, it's you get a, you know, you stay a week at Graceland. You know what I mean? It's not exactly fair.
Yeah, I kind of want to win their prizes. I'm going to start calling in.
Yeah. And they go, well, we got to build up the morning show. But apparently they have record ratings. So what do you give it to us then, right?
Yeah, they're doing fine.
They're doing just fine.
We have great
so
ratings,
have
too.
Have them
though,
give
the
out the garden hose if that's the case.
I agree. We should get better prizes. But anyway, the point is Greg doesn't really have to do a whole lot. Everything seems to be in motion. Everything, all the stars are aligning. John Paul Mac Isaac said, and I quote, that would be freaking amazing. So he sounds like he's super interested in it as well. Stocker just has to give it a thumbs up and we're good to go.
All right. So I have to ask my buddy, who is the man himself, John McNesby, the president of FOP Lodge 5, if he would be kind enough to host us for a book signing for that. I think he probably would. Mm-hmm. So we can make this happen.
I'm excited.
There you go.
There's no bigger name than John Paul Mac Isaac right now.
I agree. Let's see. What the hell song was that? I'm stuck in traffic and that music got me all jacked up. I smashed into the car in front of me. Thanks a lot, Matt. Don't blame Matt, Joe Snow. That was all Daniel.
You can blame Matt. That's fine.
No, don't blame me. I didn't choose that monstrosity. It was horrible.
I mean, something, you know, a little bit like uppy, preppy, but, you know, something that also doesn't make somebody want to rip a driver out of the car next to them.
I mean, I'm always crashing my car, so, I mean, you can't really take it.
You know.
Don't you use a skateboard?
Yeah, to get from the train station to here.
All right, so imagine you're in traffic on 95 or the Blue Route, and you want to hear something a little bit more relaxing than that, is all I'm saying. You know what I mean?
Not me, no. No,
but other people. You got to think about other people besides yourself, Daniel,
you know,
is my point.
There's a select audience out there.
No, there isn't. Not. Actually, no there isn't. And the audience that we care about doesn't like that crap. Sergeant Mark Fu said, Rich, nothing like practicing driving with my son and hearing headbanger music to calm my nerves.
It's not even headbanger music.
You know, it's not even headbanger. Headbanger was good. That was just angry noise. Why not just play bombs exploding? Why not do that? Just the sound of bombs exploding all over the place.
I can come back to it if you
don't
want.
Give him any ideas.
Yeah, don't give him any ideas, right?
He absolutely will come back with too.
What's amazing about me this day is I finally have my own show after all these years. Well, I've always had my own show, but you know what I mean? You would think these young up-and-coming producers would try to program the music to make me happy, Matt DeSantis. Instead, it's like the opposite. It's almost like they're playing music just to tick me off.
Well, Daniel
and Henry, the two of them.
No,
Daniel and Henry.
Daniel and Henry just basically play whatever they want to hear in the moment.
Whatever comes to them in dreams
you know? Most of the time, play the stuff that people like. Once in a while, I throw in a couple stuff that is really offbeat. So let's not gang up on me saying that I do it all the time.
All right, fair enough.
I would say, like, I don't know.
It was
20% of the time.
Out of every time I worked with Rich's show, it was 3 songs.
You only play like 2 songs per hour.
Yeah, you only work with a show 3 times a month. So think about that.
It's a terrible ratio.
Like 3 times a year. That's how it feels.
We do wish you were on more.
I wish I was on more.
I mean, not when you play crap like that, but normally I wish you were on more.
I'll dump it for you. How about that?
That's too late. You've already caused accidents on, it's like, of all the times of the day, right now is probably unarguably the most traffic in the entire city and the region right now. Because let's face it, everybody's either running errands or coming home from work or taking their kids somewhere. Literally everybody's in their car. And simultaneously, every mom in yoga pants right now turned around and said, "Why do I want to punch my children in the face?" Because of the music that I just heard on Zioli's show.
Yeah, I'm just imagining like someone who was super calm and collected on their way home from work prior to listening to that song. Then Daniel plays it and suddenly they're gunning their pickup truck to like 90 miles per hour and just violently cranking the steering wheel from the left to the right. Like I
am supporting a local band because they are local.
Carol says, "Yep, you are definitely the lesser now. Sad to say, but it's kind of not good." Actually, Carol, I disagree. I'm happy being the lesser. I was at my happiest when I was the lesser show back in the day when I was in afternoons. So I'm more than happy to be. It's fine. It's all good. You know what I mean? It's fine. And then we'll beat the morning show again like we did last time. Anyway, so I want to play a clip for you of, I like being the underdog. Let's just put it this way. I tend to rise to the occasion. But Howard Stern, speaking of a guy who used to be really talented back in the day before he went woke, speculating on Kirstie Alley's death. And this is ridiculous, of course. But woke Howard Stern, of course, he's all in on Big Pharma. He's all in on the vaccines. He's all in on the jab and whatever Fauci tells him. This guy does not challenge authority in any way, shape, or form. So without even letting Kirstie Alley's body, really the corpse go cold, as they say, he already starts trashing her. Cut number 4.
I was all freaked out.
And he burps. That's nice. Let me just say, what an intelligent guy, right? To begin his commentary by belching. Because that is so hard to do, to belch. I have to yell at Reagan and Patrick and Claire not to belch at the table. He is, what, 75 years old? Is that right?
I don't know when Howard Stern's birthday is, but it sounds accurate.
But he begins by belching. Oh, that's so funny. Whoa, he belched.
He's 68.
68 years old, and he begins by burping. Something my children do at the table. But I guess, that's so funny. Sorry, go on.
I was all freaked out. My wife told me this morning that Kirstie Alley died.
I saw that last night, and I started reading up on her. Because, again, another person we had on the show and had really warm feelings for.
Well, what freaked me out about Kirstie Alley is that she's 71. And I know to some people that's old, but to me, that's young.
F-bomb.
And they're saying it was like a sudden kind of cancer.
Didn't say what kind. I never saw what kind. I only heard it was a recent discovery. That was she just discovered she had cancer and she's gone already.
I know she was she was not anti-vaccine, but she was anti-mandate. Maybe we had, this was a theory this morning because we were all discussing it. Maybe she didn't go to the doctor soon enough when she wasn't feeling well, but that's a story made up by us. I mean,
right. Yeah.
Yeah. There's no facts behind
it. There are many.
So think about it, right? And kudos to Howard Stern for going 60 seconds without dropping an F-bomb. I'm really impressed. He's maturing at 68 years old. So it's not enough that Kirstie Alley's not anti-vaccine. She's anti-mandate, and that's enough to just trash her when she's dead. So, you see, in woke Howard Stern's world, it's not enough just to be like, hey, I'll take the vaccine, I'm okay with it. You have to be all in on the mandate. This guy is such a freaking sellout. At one time, he used to fight against things like that, but now he's just completely whatever the government, the intelligentsia, whatever they want him to be, he'll do it as long as he can sip Chablis in the Hamptons and interview Bruce Springsteen. What a woke sellout this guy is. It's really pathetic, if you ask me. What a complete fraud. 855-839-1210. Listen, speaking of decorum in life, I know when I bring up the naturally nude pajamas, you might think to yourself, oh my gosh, Rich, earmuffs? Well, they're not really nude. It's a way to say it's a garment. It's a beautiful pajamas that are like wearing nothing at all. I'm talking about the silky smoothness of Pajamagram. It's like wearing nothing at all, but she's going to love them. Bridget loves hers. They're so comfortable and so soft and so subtle. And you will love them, too. You give them to your wife. You give them to your girlfriend. She's going to be so happy to have them because they love the comfort and they love the warmth. You'll love how they look, and they really do look beautiful. If you don't believe me, just take my word for it. Go to pajamagram.com. You order right now today, you're going to get a free naturally nude nightie for $75. It's a $75 value. It's yours free. It's your gift free when you order at pajamagram.com. So here's what you do, guys. Go to pajamagram.com. Order the naturally nude today. Have her pick out the color or surprise her. She'll be very happy. Bridget loved the color black, but it was a toss-up between the red or the black, but she went with black. And get the free nightie to go along with it. $75 value. Looks great under the tree. Looks even better on her, and she will love the luxuriousness of this, and you'll love the look as well. So, pajamagram.com, pajamagram.com. Tell them I sent you. She will be happy, but do it today because they sold out last Christmas, and they're going to sell out again this year. Pajamagram.com.
Thanks for listening to the Scioli Show podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the Odyssey app.
Nice. Turn this up, Daniel.
Jolene.
That's what I'm talking about.
I'm begging of you, please don't take my man.
Nice drive home.
Jolene.
We alternate between classic rock, Dolly.
Please don't take him.
Never Yoko screaming, despite Dr. Nick's requests. You know what? This is an hat tip to one of our buddies. So who suggested this, Daniel?
It was Soda Girl.
Soda Girl. My girl. Baby, it's cold outside. She's been a long time friend of the show, Soda Girl, and I'm grateful for her her friendship and support. We want to do a little more interaction, I think, with the Scioli Army. Let them program the music, you know what I mean?
I don't know about that one.
You don't know about that. All right. See, it's populism, Daniel. Populism.
If you don't like my music, what makes you think you're going to like theirs?
Well, I'll tell you what. Amy, Princess of Profanity made a playlist. Susie Cool made a playlist. Sandy made a playlist. We're trying to, you know what I mean? Signs of Autumn Sign says, Rich, back when I listened to Stern, he was all in on meditation, natural and organic living. Now he's for pumping an unknown substance into his body without question. What happened to him? Great question. He sold out. Look, here's the deal. You're hanging out in the Hamptons. You're drinking Chablis. You're eating shrimp or whatever the hell you're eating, beyond shrimp, whatever the hell it is. You want to fit in with these people, and you do whatever they want. And they say, can you believe people are doubting the vaccine? And ironically enough, some of the biggest vaccine deniers are on the left, not the right. But nevertheless, with this one, it became all about, well, don't you think it's science because of Trump? And then they were the biggest vaccine skeptics then. We've played the montage before of all the people on the left saying, if Trump comes up with the vaccine, I won't take it. Biden himself said that. But then when Biden was president, it was, if you don't take it, you don't believe in science and blah, blah, blah. The whole thing's a joke. And they're the same people who are the biggest advocates for abortion. They turn around and say, my body, my choice, except when it comes to that, which is why I think if the administration is going to actually end the vaccine mandate for our servicemen and women, they should reinstate every single person out there who has ever been fired, they should all get their jobs back. Absolutely. Absolutely. It needs to happen. Let me see what else I have. I have some other audio for you today that I wanted to share with you as well. So, Karine Jean-Pierre, this administration is very hostile to freedom of speech, as you can imagine. Karine Jean-Pierre, the White House fembot, her programming was finally updated, and she talked about what they can require businesses to do and what they can require businesses to break whatever philosophical points that they have. Cut number 8.
The Supreme Court heard arguments today about a graphic designer who objected to designing websites for gay couples. The justices seemed to be sympathetic toward her on the court today. We've heard the White House talk about the potential ripple effects after the Dobbs ruling. Do you have a comment on this specific case and any concerns from the administration about the potential wider implications of this particular case?
So I want to be very careful here. Don't want to weigh in or prejudge the Supreme Court's outcome. You know, that's something I'm going to do here at the podium. But to your point, more broadly speaking, and we have talked about this, we recognize the right to free speech, and we support ensuring that no one is discriminated against or refused services because of who they love and who they are. And so, as you know, we've been very clear about that. The administration believes that every person, no matter their sex, race, religion, or who they love, should have the equal access to society, including access to products and services on the same terms as other members of public. Look, Department of Justice said in its brief that for decades, non-discrimination public accommodations laws have coexisted with the First Amendment. Courts have recognized that we can require businesses open to public to service people regardless of their backgrounds, even when that means businesses must incidentally engage in speech which they disagree upon. So this is no reason to upend this balance right now, as the Department of Justice just laid out, as I just laid out what they said in their brief. But again, I don't want to weigh in. I don't want to get ahead of what the Supreme Court's decision will be on this.
Now, this is a total lie, because this is not about public accommodation. Nobody's suggesting that you have a right to turn people away because they're gay from your diner. No, nobody's suggesting that. What this case is about is engaging in speech. Let me make it easy for the fembot. If a racist town in Alabama, let's just use one of the left's great, or let's say Georgia, totally racist state, Georgia, where you would never have, say, like a black person running statewide, for example. If they wanted to have something on it, I'm sorry, Matt, what was that? What did you just say?
I think your assessment of Georgia is inaccurate.
What am I missing here?
They had two candidates actually running that were black.
But yeah, but not against each other.
No, yeah, they were against each other.
Wait, but they were running against each other. Yeah, but that,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, Herschel.
I'm not talking about like 1907, no. Like some stunt. Wait, when?
No, yeah. Herschel Walker and Raphael Warnock, like last night, actually.
Oh, fine. That's U.S. Senate. No one cares. Tell me when there's a black candidate for governor of Georgia. Then we'll talk. Okay.
There was.
When?
Like a month ago.
Well, clearly the race was stolen from her because there was very low voter turnout.
I think it was actually a record turnout.
Yeah. Are you sure this guy has a radio show?
All right. So anyway, the point I'm making is, so let's say there's like a racist town in, I don't know, New Jersey. And they mandate that every diner has to put something on their menu that says white people are smarter than black people. And the restaurant owner turns around and says, I will not put that on my menu. I think it's outrageous. I'm not going to do that. I think everybody would side with the restaurant owner and say they don't have the government doesn't have a right to make them engage in speech they don't believe in. Now, obviously, we're talking about race, and almost everybody universally agrees that that is outrageous. Let's go a step further. Let's say that a town mandated that a restaurant owner has to put on their restaurant that they don't believe in God, or that they do believe in God, or that they believe that Jesus is the king of salvation. And the restaurant owner says, I don't agree with this. Let's say the town mandates that the restaurant owner has to put something on there about you know, we believe that when you die, you go to heaven or you become a grasshopper or whatever it is. And they go, I don't believe in that. Why are you forcing me to engage in speech? Everybody would take the side of the business owner. In this case, here you have private citizens walking in and trying to have a message created for them by somebody who disagrees with the message. It's not about serving them. They can get whatever they want. It's about engaging in speech. It's about forcing me to say something that I don't agree with. It's not about public accommodation. Nobody's doubting the fact that if you walk into Jack Phillips Bakery, he has to serve you a piece of cake. The point is, does Jack Phillips have to write a message on a cake that he doesn't agree with? Or in this case, does a woman have to write a message on a wedding invitation that she doesn't agree with? Can the government coerce you into speech? And if you agree that the government can't force you to say something in any of the examples I just offered you, then you have to side with the woman in this case, because it's still about the government forcing you to say something you disagree with. It violates your religious belief. It's not about not serving black people mac and cheese, despite what this case said. This was what CNN said. And here is the clip of that and what CNN is trying to equate this to with religious liberty, cut number 10.
At what point can someone say, I'm an artist, and not really be one? My question really is, what is art? I mean, obviously, I'm not disparaging your art form. I had a wedding website. I understand it. It's a whole thing. I know you're an artist. But what is to distinguish you from somebody saying, well, you know what? Look, my macaroni and cheese in this restaurant is a work of art. This pie is a work of art. The way that I make my clothing in this boutique, works of art. So you know what? I don't want somebody in here who's gay, who's black, who's Jewish, who's disabled. What is the line that distinguishes, say, you from the artist that somebody could, under the auspices of saying they're an artiste, do the same thing? Do you have those concerns?
Well, I can only speak to myself, and I've made it clear I work with everyone. I have clients who identify as LGBT, and what I'm seeking is that the court step in to protect everyone's right to speak freely.
The court has already determined these tests. Every free speech case determines whether it's speech or conduct. The law is well established to determine that. Is a message being communicated? Is it in a medium that we're used to seeing, that we know, words, text, and graphics? That's speech. If we're talking about some macaroni and cheese dish, that's not speech. And that's an easy call for the court to make. And they've been making those calls for many, many years under the First Amendment.
I guess the question would be this. If I call up I go to a website company and I say to them, listen, I'd like you to do a website for my radio show. And they say, great, we'd love to host you. We'd love to design a site for you. And they say, who are you? And I tell them who I am. And they go, oh, you know, we don't agree with literally anything you say. We think you're hateful, and we don't agree with your stand on dudes competing against biological women in the pool, and we just don't agree with you, and we don't want to do your website. Am I being discriminated against? Because, you know, it's very easy to go down this road and say, well, it's gay people, so obviously you can't say no to them. But the point is forcing somebody to either violate their religious or philosophical beliefs. And I would argue philosophical beliefs are the same thing, which is exactly what's at the crux of this case. The First Amendment it's very broad in that sense. So I would never, ever, ever, ever want the state to force a website designer to make a website for me if they genuinely hated my guts. And by the way, just from the point of view of commerce, why would I pay that person to make a website for me if they hate me? Why would I ever do that? But you see, that's the point of why this should not even be at the Supreme Court. Because you would think that the people who went into 303 Creative and said, can you make me wedding invitations? And the woman said, no, I don't agree with the fact that you're getting gay married. Well, they would just go, well, the hell with you. I'm not giving you my money. And then just leave. I mean, that's the irony of this whole thing, is that the free market could solve this in our involve the government, but they can't help themselves because they want the government to force people to violate their philosophical beliefs. But I'm telling you right now, these lefties who do this would be the first ones to say no. If I went to their business and I said, hey, do me a favor, can you make a poster for me that says oil is the future? And they were like, hell no, climate change. And I said, no, I want you to do it. And they go, we don't agree with that message. Well, do it. I got to get out. Okay, fine. We have who on Twitter? Can we do it or no?
No, we don't have time.
I blew it. All right, yeah. Fine. Good night. We'll see you tomorrow.
We do have to talk about our love for Gatsby.
Oh, shoot. Professor Gatsby's hitting and cooling. Yes, sorry. We're getting bumped for basketball, and I don't know how to control my thoughts. So, but I will tell you, I do know how to control my furnace, and that's by using the great people at Professor Gatsby's Heating and Cooling. They do a fantastic job. They'll tune up your furnace for only $49, and if you need a new furnace, and they'll never tell you do unless you do, they have 0% interest and lots of rebates and specials available for you. Just go to profgatsby.com, profgatsby.com, Professor Gatsby's Heating and Cooling, the company that I use and I trust, and you should use them too in your home. ProfessorGatsby's.com, ProfGatsby, ProfGatsby.com.
Rich Zeoli, weekday afternoons 3 to 7, Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and on the free Odyssey app.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.